This is so neat. I am so glad for us to be able to have this opportunity to worship together and to sing and to pray and to take communion and to have a service where for people who have not been able to be with us. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen in some time. So thankful for your presence and hope that this is a blessing to all of you. Now, in addition to our regular service that's been going on out in the gym, we've been talking about doing this, having a mask-only service for some time. And we had originally said that it was going to be January the 10th, and we talked about that last week pretty explicitly. But due to circumstances and with the governor's encouragement this past week and the escalation of infection in our state and in our area in particular, our elders made the decision that it was time for us to go ahead and make that option available and really encourage people. If you are able to be here, and if you're not here, if you're joining us from home, we are thankful that you are with us as well. If you get an opportunity to come and be a part of our mask-only service, we will certainly have room for you and where everybody can spread out and do so safely, and we encourage you and invite you to do that. And each week, now we're going to be trying to rotate our live service back and forth between the auditorium and the Fletcher Outreach Center so that nobody feels like they're the B team, because we think both groups are equally important, equally a part of the family here, and we are so looking forward to the day when we don't have a need any longer to be separated, to be divided, for people to have to be at home, and really looking forward to that day. And in a way, today we kind of stand at the crossroads. We're at a crossroads in our congregation's history. We're at a crossroads in our personal lives and nationally. And we're at the crossroads of 2020 and 2021. We are now at the beginning of 2021. Now, 2020 has been a challenge for the church, for our nation and community, and really for the world in many, many ways. It has been nothing like nothing we have seen or experienced in our lifetimes, and I know that many have had struggles in whether it's been health-wise or financial, and we know that there have been a lot of struggles this past year. But we also know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God can change circumstances and make this new year to come a blessing. Now, when we say Happy New Year, we say that around this time of the year, right? When we say Happy New Year to someone, we're inviting them to have a new year that will be better than the previous year. So in a sense, when you say Happy New Year, it's kind of like a blessing, which is pretty great, because it's saying, I hope that your prayers are answered, that your health is improved, that your new year will be filled with moments of joy and happiness. I hope that you find fulfillment. It's all of that tied up in one, and just that one little simple phrase, Happy New Year. And every year people stay up till midnight to see the old year out and to see the new one in. This year in particular, I think we're probably going to be a lot of people staying up to midnight just to make sure 2020 really leaves, that it really is over. It's one of those things that you just can't be too sure about. So I think there will probably be a lot of people focused on that this year. As much as seeing the new year in, we want to make sure this old one goes out. But here's something I want us to think about this morning. That if nothing changes, then nothing different will happen. If nothing changes, nothing different will happen, which sounds pretty redundant. Now, we already know that some things are going to change in this coming year. Already, millions of vaccines are being distributed in our country and across the world. Our prayer and our hope is that life will return to some degree of normalcy over the course of the coming year, that maybe we won't have to be wearing these masks and working from home or staying home and being able to get back out and about. That is our hope. That is our prayer. And certainly it looks like we're headed in that direction. So some things appear that they're going to be changing. But the question for us this morning is really whether we are going to change, whether you are going to change. Are you and I, are we on a course of change? Are we making plans to be changed in this coming year? The great American theologian Oprah says, cheers to the new year and another chance to get it right. Now, I don't quote the great American theologian Oprah very often, and I don't agree with the great American theologian Oprah very often, but I have to agree with her here. We are at the beginning of a new year, and we have a chance to change some things in our lives that will, in fact, make a big difference. Every year, people change houses, change cars, move across the state, move across the continent. They get new jobs, change their jobs, make a lot of resolutions, and make promises to themselves, make promises to others, that things are going to be different. And yet, by the end of January, they're in the same funk they were in at the end of December, right? Why is that? It's because nothing changed. They do the same old thing in the same old way, and they wonder why nothing different happens. Now, I would argue that for us to have the sort of new year that we would wish upon you when we say Happy New Year, that some things don't need to change. Some things need to be retained. Some things need to not just be changed, they need to be removed altogether. And some things need to be reconciled. And wisdom is knowing which is which. Now, when we talk about retaining things, there are some things that we don't want to change, right? God's word does not change, for instance. And God himself does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we know from Scripture. And what he means is what he says, and what he says is what he will do, and God is certain and sure of his promises and word. So for us to look at this new year, we have to look at our lives and see, where does our faith lie? If God does not change, if God's word does not change, where does our faith lie? And if our faith lies solely and squarely on the person of God, then we have to hang on to that. That has to be clung to for dear life. A believer who is looking at the future is going to look at it really differently than a non-believer. The believer will be looking at it through the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith that God is real, God is there, God is present, God has plans for us, and it's plans to give us a future and hope, to quote Jeremiah. And that our future is based upon God's promises. We hold fast to a God who has promised never to leave us and never forsake us. A believer looks at the new year with this truth that I am not going to make this new year great, right? That I am not going to do that. That God himself is going to dwell within me and make all the difference. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're kind of sort of forced to look at the new year as a mixture of two things: skill and luck, accomplishment and being lucky, right? It all depends on whether you're good at what you do or you make the right things happen, and whether you get lucky along the way, whether fate shines down upon you. That's the whole way that you're going to have a good new year, is if you do something really good and if you get lucky when you do it. That's what makes a good new year. But that's not true for those of us who are Christians, because of whom we live with. God says, or the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Not that it's coming, but that it's already here. Our future, and indeed really the future of all humanity, all the world, looks brighter when we can see that God has a plan, that God's plan is already in place, that it's already been implemented, and that we are being led by God in his plan. This is not just something that might happen down the road. It's something that already has happened, and it is happening right now. And that if we are in Christ, that God desires for us to get this fresh start, this brand new, this new creation. God offers fresh starts. God offers jump starts. And as new creations in Him, we are promised that our past is not going to dictate our present or our future. The Apostle Paul admonishes us to hang on to the things that will last. And he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." These are the things that you hold on to. You hold on to everything God gives you. You hold on to the passion of God, the compassion for others, for the kindness that has been. You hold on to that kindness that has been given to you and the grace that extends through you to give it to others. That's what we cling to. That's what we're going to retain in the new year. At the same time, we have to be willing to let some things go, other things, to remove them from our lives. The prophet Isaiah says, "Forget the former things. Forget them. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Why would you hang on to your past when God has promised a much better future? The Apostle Paul, again, in a different letter, this one to the Ephesians, says to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, and along with every form of malice. That's the old things. Those are the things Isaiah says to forget that. Don't hang on to your past. That may be who you were. That may be what you've struggled with. But you don't have to hang on to that any longer. Most people carry old habits and baggage and the same old stuff. We just carry that with us when we go from year to year, place to place. But with all the resources of heaven, we know that God can and does change our lives because we have experienced it already firsthand. You, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are not the same person who came to Christ in the first place and offered your life to Him as a living sacrifice. I don't want next year to be just another year. I want it to be a year in which we see God do something amazing, not only in our own personal lives, but in the life of the church and in the life of our community and all over the world. I want to see God working in and through the church the world over. May we seek and find joy this year, but not in the temporary things of this life or the circumstances that we happen to find ourselves in, because those are fickle at best. If you have AT&T service right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. May we look for peace, but it's not a peace that's dependent upon our bank account or whoever happens to be in political office. May we place our hope on nothing less than the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. And may the attitudes and habits that have caused us and those around us pain and heartache, may those be relinquished in favor of the Lord's blessings and promises. I'll tell you one thing I have learned already today is that I'm going to have to do a better job of shaving my chin if I'm going to wear a mask while I talk. Either that or I'm going to have to start growing my nose hair out on the top right here to get a grip, because this thing is not staying very good. I'm going to go silicone my chin or something. Anyway, that's point two. Things you need to let go. Finally, number three, we need to know the things that must be reconciled. Now, it's interesting that right after the Apostle Paul talks about this new creation, that in Christ you are a new creation, and that God has brought this new creation into the world, and that He gives us these instructions. This is what he says right after he talks about this new creation already being here. He said, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Now we get that. Let's pause right there. We get that, that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. We preach that every Sunday. We talk about that in the Lord's Supper. That is all about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and us being brought into the family of God and made right with him. We get that reconciliation. We understand what God has done. But then listen to what else God does, that he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. After reconciling us to him in Christ, God passes along this ministry of reconciliation to us, to you and me. Like, we have a pretty serious job here. You and I have been made partners with God in the most important mission in human history. We have been entrusted with the only word that has the power to save. And it's not a word about money. It's not a word about human power or authority. It's not a word about politics or fame or yoga or eating right, because none of those things have the power to save us. It is God and God alone who holds that power, and he has chosen to communicate that to the world through you. You are the conduit of God's message to all the world. That is the ministry of reconciliation. More than anything else in the coming year, you and I have been charged with demonstrating and sharing this ministry of reconciliation. So what does it look like when all of the barriers between the rich and the poor are torn down? What does it look like when all of the races of all the nations, of all the tribes and tongues have been reconciled to God? What does it look like when political opinions are not the divider in the body of Christ? What does it mean that we have been reconciled to God, and by default, since we have all been reconciled to God together, we have now been reconciled to one another as well? And how can we show the world that they have been reconciled to God when they can't even see that we have been reconciled to one another because we don't get along that well with other Christians? They need to see that you and I, despite whatever differences we have, and goodness knows, if you have a brain in your head, you and I are going to have differences, because we have all these different things about us. You know, some of you are older than me. Some of you are younger than me. Some of you are much more mechanically inclined than me, and you can fix anything. And I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I can break anything. It's a gift. Some of you are more conservative than me politically. Some of you are more liberal than me politically. Some of you are UT fans, for goodness sakes. What is wrong with you? We have all these differences, all these things that are different about us. And yet we have been reconciled to one another. Different races, different sexes, different socioeconomic classes. And Paul includes slaves and free, which was a huge divider in their culture. And Jews and Gentiles, which was another big divider, especially in the Palestinian region. And if all of those can be reconciled, if the world can see that despite all of those differences, not because we always all think the same, because that's never going to happen, but that despite all of these differences, we still love one another and are reconciled to one another because we have all been reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. When the world sees that, then they'll listen to our message of reconciliation to God. But they got to see it first. They've got to see and know that it is real. That our God is a God who tears down barriers, not puts them up. And this morning, I want to encourage you as you're planning out your new year. Maybe you've got plans to fix your hair and lose the weight and paint your house. Maybe you've got all sorts of plans of things that need to be done in the new year. But I would encourage you at the top of that list to begin working in ways that we can reconcile with one another and demonstrating this reconciliation to the world around us. Because more than anything else, that's what they need to know. That in sending God, in God sending His Son to this world, it was not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is our ministry this year. And may God bless you as we serve together. Tommy, let's stand and let's sing.